Well, it will be helpful for you to keep your pew Bibles open in front of you as we look particularly at verses 28 to 30 of chapter 19 of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 19, and particularly looking at verses 28 to 30. Three times in this passage, we encounter the same Greek root word, which means finished. Like the title of the movie Lost in Translation, however, the recurrence of that same word is hidden by the translators using three different English words to help us better understand what John has written. The first English word used is completed, the second is fulfilled, and the third is finished. But in all three instances, you could substitute the English word finished, although it might sound a little clunky. So it would sound something like this: knowing that all was now finished, that the scripture would be finished, Jesus said, "It is finished." Finished, finished, finished. This is not going, going, gone. It's rather gone, gone, gone. John, the writer of this gospel, is clearly making a point, isn't he? Something is being finished through Jesus' crucifixion. This is not a case of coming to the end of a movie only to find the words "to be continued" showing on the screen. No. This is a case of coming to the end of a movie and finding the satisfaction of the words "the end" showing on the screen. There's nothing more to wait for. The popular saying, of course, is that it's not over until the fat lady has sung. Well, John is telling us the fat lady has sung. So firstly, let's look at the first instance of the word finished. Finished, number one, everything's completed. Verse 28 reads, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" Knowing that all was now completed. What is completed? Jesus has completed the work that God the Father gave him to do. What is that work? Jesus' work is to reveal God through himself, Jesus, through his person and work, and to gain eternal life for God's people through his death and resurrection. Well, how can Jesus know that he has completed the work if he has not died and risen from the dead? Well, although he still has to die and be entombed and rise from the dead, each of these events is as good as done, because Jesus is fully committed to his death, which is just one part of that whole. It's something like a VIP smashing a bottle of champagne against the hull of a ship as it is launched for the first time. Although the ship has only just begun floating on the water, in a very real sense, the work has been completed, because the ship has been successfully constructed for sailing for decades to come. The night before this, after eating the Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus had prayed to the Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Jesus knew when he prayed those words that he still had to be arrested and tortured and crucified. He had actually predicted those events. So if Jesus had completed his work before he was even arrested or tortured or crucified, then how much more has Jesus completed his work as he hangs on the cross to die? So what do we learn from Jesus' knowledge that all was now completed? we learn that Jesus' crucifixion was not an unexpected turn of events, but rather it was God's specific plan. God had ordained this hour. The great Anglican bishop J.C. Ryle wrote, "The death of our Lord Jesus Christ at Golgotha was a thing foreseen and predetermined by God. Hundreds of years before the crucifixion, every part of the solemn transaction was arranged in the divine councils, and the minutest particulars were revealed to the prophets." End quote. Jesus knew what God the Father had called him to do, and Jesus willingly gave himself to the work that God had given him to do. Don Carson, a New Testament scholar, explains it this way. He writes, "All the steps that brought Jesus to pain and impending death were in the design of his heavenly Father." So that's finished number one. Finished number one, everything's completed. Finished number two, the scriptures fulfilled. The scriptures fulfilled. We read in verses 28 and 29, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips." John uses the word scripture there. He writes, "so that the scripture would be fulfilled." What does scripture mean? Well, it simply means writing. Writing. So what writing from the Hebrew scriptures is Jesus thinking of? Well, it's almost certain that he had in mind a very specific verse, and that specific verse is Psalm 69, verse 21, which reads as follows, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Those words come from a song written by David, the king of Israel, who lived approximately 1,000 years before Jesus. David's lyrics, "They gave me vinegar for my thirst," find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus' statement, "I am thirsty." And the Roman soldiers lifting a sponge of wine vinegar to Jesus' mouth on the cross. Picture, if you will, a poster with a photo advertising the coming performance by an international singer. And then compare that to the actual performance in flesh by the international singer on that day. Well, if you'll humor the illustration, that illustrates something of the expectation that was contained in David's words in Psalm 69, and then the fulfillment of that expectation in Jesus' actions. David's words are like the advertising poster with a photo anticipating the performance, and Jesus' words are like the reality of the performance by the singer. In Psalm 69, David cried out to God against his enemies who scorned him and were bent on destroying David. Jesus is a direct descendant of King David, and he is the Christ, the promised King of Israel, whom God sent to inaugurate God's kingdom. Yet, like David, Jesus is also scorned by his enemies as he hangs on the cross. And Jesus' enemies are bent on destroying him. King David's words find their fullest meaning on the lips of King Jesus as he is hanging on the cross. Jesus is aware that his actions are bringing to fruition the expectations of God's word, and he's ensuring that he fulfills every expectation. Well, some people have therefore suggested that Jesus' words, "I am thirsty," are just manipulative histrionics, that he's just doing it for effect. That it's all set up. But that attitude just reveals total ignorance of the dehydration that Jesus is enduring as a result of the enormous blood loss that he has suffered. The blood loss that he has suffered from being beaten, the blood loss that he has suffered from being flogged, from a crown of thorns pressed into his skull, and then being crucified on a Roman cross. Never mind the heat of the Palestinian sun. Jesus' dying words are not manipulative histrionics, but the ultimate expression of obedience to God. Jesus sets us an example in his words and actions, because even in his agony, even in his death, Jesus is thoroughly dedicated to obeying God's word. Finished number one, everything's completed. Finished number two, the scriptures fulfilled. Finished number three, the debts paid. The debts paid. We read in verse 30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The words "it is finished" are actually one word in the Greek which John uses to write his gospel. And the word that Jesus uses is tetelestai. Tetelestai means "it is finished" or "it is accomplished." It's a little like the director of a major motion picture yelling, "That's a wrap!" What does he mean? The director is telling the entire crew that filming has been completed, that there's no more filming to be done. It's like the final jigsaw in a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle as it's placed. What more is there to be done? Nothing. When Jesus says it is finished, he's not saying it's over or this is the end. Jesus is not admitting failure, giving up, or resigning himself to death. When Jesus says it is finished, he is victoriously saying, mission accomplished. The job is done. Jesus is declaring that he has successfully completed the work God gave him to do. But the word tetelestai has even more meaning to it, because it was often used in a commercial context, such as in the marketplace. When the debtor had finally paid off a debt, the creditor would declare, "Tetelestai, it is paid. The debt is paid." There is a very real sense in which Jesus on the cross is paying our debt. When Jesus doesn't only die on the cross, in other words, to finish the work that God had given him to do, or only to fulfill God's word, Jesus also dies on the cross to pay the debt that we owe for our sin. Jesus dies on the cross to pay the debt of our autonomy from God, to pay the debt of our wrongdoing, to pay the debt of our disobedience. Jesus dies on the cross for my impatience, for my anger, for my self-centeredness, for my hard words, my judgmentalism. Jesus dies on the cross for my pride, my violence, my gossip, my lust, my lies, my foul language, my greed. And on the cross, as Jesus is about to give his life, Jesus tells us, "Tetelestai, the debt is paid in full." Well, it might just be me, but I think one of the sweetest experiences in life is knowing the debt I owe has been paid. That I owe nothing. If we'll accept Jesus' death for us, then our debt has been paid. If we'll accept Jesus' death for us, then our sins have been paid for. Nothing, nothing is owed. So have you done that, friend? Have you accepted Jesus' debt-paying death for you? If you have accepted Jesus' debt-paying death for you, then may I urge you to remember the word, tetelestai. It is paid. It is paid. When you've done something wrong and you know that you've sinned against God, don't try and make up for it. Don't try and repair your relationship with God. Don't try and add to Jesus' death. There's nothing that you can do to make up for what you have done wrong. But praise God, there's no need to. There's no need to, because the debt has been paid in full. Just confess your sin to God and rejoice that the debt has been paid for your sin. Finished number one, everything is completed. Finished number two, the scriptures fulfilled. Finished number three, the debt is paid. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of these words of Jesus, as we think of his action, as we think of him hanging on the cross, Father, we thank you that everything's completed, that Jesus has done the work that you gave him to do, that he's revealed you and gained eternal life for your people. Father, we thank you too that as we read this passage, we see that the scripture is fulfilled. That David's words, "They gave me vinegar for my thirst," were fulfilled in Jesus' words, "I am thirsty," and then being given that wine vinegar. That Jesus is bringing to fruition what was predicted in the Hebrew scriptures. That he is seeing that every expectation is fulfilled. That he is thoroughly dedicated in obedience to your word. And Father, finally, we thank you that we see that the debt's been paid. That the debt has been paid in full. The debt has been paid for our sin. And that there's nothing more to be done. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to stand and sing together one more time. And as we do so, it'll be an opportunity for you, if you don't already give via electronic means to God's work through Berwick Anglican Church, to bring your offerings. Please will you stand, and let's sing together, In Christ Alone.
Peace when fears are still. Comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
With the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.